What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Chelsea Echo, episode 2 of the season, or it might be episode 2.5. Basically, a lot's happened this week, okay? So we kind of did a couple of Twitter spaces, a few bits here, a few bits there. And if you're not following us on Twitter, you've missed them. That's your own fault. But we are back for the West Ham game. Tom's back as well, after spooning Jakob Kjellberg. Tom, how was it?
It was lovely, thank you. He's a great spooner, and France was nice and hot, and we didn't lose to Liverpool, so all good things happened.
Are you a big spoon or a little spoon?
We changed each night to just see what we liked. By the end, we weren't sure, so we just kept doing it.
Oh, fair play, lovely, nice, great to hear. And we're joined by, obviously, our main little spoon, big cook, little cook vibes. Tobes is here, as usual. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man, I'm good. Similar to Tom, I was just happy with how the weekend went. I was happy with how the transfers have gone. It's a good week. Secured West Ham ticket today. Happy boy.
It's all right for some, isn't it? It's all right for some.
And just going to gloat that over you. Come on.
Well, I mean, I'm going to try and get a ticket. Failing that, I'll probably be doing some haircuts and then just watching the game. And I actually might be cutting a West Ham fans there on a Sunday morning. So we'll have to see what happens to that. Yeah, I know. And obviously, Jordan's in the cut as well. And as usual, he doesn't have his mic on. He's just, in the corner.
Just staring at us.
Yeah. I'm like that friend in the group chat that never says anything.
Yeah, that's about right.
He just reads.
Just pops up in the last minute. But anyway, we'll just get straight into it. I think that the best way to talk about this week, straight off the bat, I just put what the shit has happened, because we recorded last Wednesday. Obviously, loads of stuff happened. Tobes and myself did a couple of spaces over the past few days just to try and keep up with everything. But goodness gracious me. I mean, before we even get into that whole thing, because you obviously got Caicedo, Lavia, Elise, a potential new French centre forward as well, which none of us have probably ever heard of, but we're going to pretend we do. But let's just talk about Liverpool quickly, because obviously I know, again, like I said, people don't follow us on Twitter, they won't have had the space where we had a chat. Happy with that overall, boys?
I'll let Tom go first, because obviously you may have spoke about this. I'd like to hear what Tom has to say.
Yeah, delighted in the end. Not going to lie, after whenever Salah's goal was scored, was about half an hour in, I was very worried that this was about to get ugly. We looked a bit all over the shop. Colwell, excellent defender, obviously he is, but one-on-one against Salah, I don't think there's any defender who can do that, and he was just being exploited constantly. So I was getting very worried. And then we got that, I suppose, lucky break in that it was offside, and I don't know what exactly happened before half-time, but we kind of regrouped. Obviously found our way back into the game, and then second half we were, how do I put it, all over them, I should say, and potentially should have found a way to win the game. So yeah, I think that was a positive performance, stuck at it. I do worry though, if that had gone 2-0, heads might have dropped, but we don't have to worry about that now. Now I've got a nice run, so hopefully we can get a bit of a run going.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. I think that game just... It's a good starting point. It's a nice little benchmark just to improve on. And I think, me and Tobes talking about it, the atmosphere at the Bridge was unbelievable. I was happy with sort of how everything was going, happy with the game. That's all we can say, really. Just move on now, ready to go. West Ham around the corner.
Yeah, it's just nice to build some momentum. And like Tom said, the fixtures are actually quite favourable to us. And it was a good building block. Enzo was showing why... Well, now that De Bruyne is out, why he's the best midfielder in the league, arguably. He might be. I thought he was awesome. I thought, like Tom said, like up against Salah one-on-one, especially with how far forward Chile was playing. It was interesting to see, actually, Poch's tactics, because we haven't seen tactics in like a year or so. So they were nice to return to Chelsea. But yeah, I thought Colwell did grow into it. And then by the end, he had Salah, throwing his tape all over the place. Because Klopp was saying, you know what, he's actually got you in his pocket. He was struggling initially, but he's grown into the game. He looked so comfortable on the ball. You kind of forget his age, don't you? He looks a top player. But I thought they all played well. I thought that was probably Gallagher's best game in the Chelsea shirt as well, really.
I'd agree. I think Connor had a very, very, very good game. And obviously that's kind of been overshadowed by how a lot of the other players are playing. But I thought, Connor Gallagher, proved he can be good on the ball. I know somewhere people were kind of worried about it and said, he hasn't got that distribution. He made a short 5-yard passes. He kept it simple. He was finding Chilwell. He was finding Enzo. And, he just did what he's very good at, which is just running and chasing the ball. So, we'll have to see what happens with him. Obviously, the transfer window is still in full swing of things. We're recording this on the 16th at what is now 9:18 p.m. Okay, so
we should have two more £100 million signings.
Yeah, exactly. So this will be out Friday, so we'll have to see what happens. Obviously, in that meantime, we'll be plugging in gaps, Twitter Spaces, little quick announcements.
Can't believe we signed Mbappe, guys.
But yeah, on that, obviously, we did see a couple of comments and a Where Was the Liverpool review. Basically, we've got some things we're working on, but for the time being, this is kind of, we'll be all one pod and we'll bring it all together, wrap it round. But obviously, as time goes on and we can figure stuff out a bit more and figure out, you know, how we're going to be doing this, you will be getting pods straight after the game. We'll hop straight into it. And let's talk a little bit about what the hell happened this week. Caicedo, Lavia, someone's nan, a dog, it's just like absolutely insane. What how do you process this?
I think I sent that message in the chat, didn't I? One normal day of Chelsea, it'll never happen. That's exactly what it's been. I mean, the Caicedo one was mental because it came through that we were not going to... Liverpool had a deadline, or Brighton set a deadline, I should say, which Liverpool met in terms of the price. And then we went, well, no, we're getting him. So we went and got him. And apparently, because he'd agreed terms with us in May, he wanted to come to us. So we got that one over the line. That really annoyed Liverpool fans. And then we thought, actually, you know what? We might as well go and get Lavia as well, so you can have no one. And then they're now going for Tyler Adams, apparently, who, of course, we nearly had at one point. And then we said, actually, no, we want Lavia and Caicedo. And now Bournemouth want Adams. And so Liverpool are stuck with, I don't know, Jurgen Klopp's mum, defensive midfielder.
Yeah,
something.
Apparently it's a Japanese guy from Stuttgart. Yeah.
It's literally the two things that were trending on Twitter. So I've got a Liverpool fan staying in my flat at the minute. And he was saying the two things that have been trending on his Twitter are Endo and he's 30, which is all about Endo. So, you know, it's those are the two things which have been trending on Liverpool Twitter. Not to mention or forget as well that Alisson is potentially interested in a move to Al Nassr. So if that happens in the politest terms possible, Liverpool are fucked.
What a shame.
If they don't sign a defensive midfielder or a decent one, they ain't getting top eight. If they don't sign a defensive midfielder and they lose Alisson, they're finishing bottom half. I'm saying it now. I don't care how many goals Salah scores. I think they'll finish
Alisson
bottom
would
half.
Be massive. Alisson or Salah would be massive. But surely
both?
Not.
Imagine if it's both.
Maybe we're signing both. We'll let Kepa go. Maybe we'll get Alisson in.
I saw a rumour today that Salah's got given the green light for a move over to Saudi. So... Well, I have no idea how reputable that source was, but you never know with Saudi. They get what they want. They're a bit like us, but not quite as good.
That would be funny. Oh dear, did you know,
wait, Tom, have you got Louis frozen but cracking up?
Yeah.
It's a good thing that you don't need to see me. It's just like you can hear the audio and it's all good. But did you see the big thing?
Mate, you stopped and I was like, oh, is Louis gone? And then I hear the laugh.
and then the seal laugh comes through the headphones.
Stop it! Anyway, have you seen the big thing with this? Another reason why potentially we signed Lavia as well as Caicedo. Apparently, Todd Boehly and Henry have a big, big beef through baseball. So put it this way. Apparently, Todd Boehly just signed Lavia just to annoy him. That's one of the things I've been reading, which is, it's, I didn't think America
would
capable of that.
That's kind of pessimist we can all get behind.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I was like, do you know what? Fair play. And, you know, it's good. We've got two players we've been chasing after all summer through the door.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that.
Surely that's got to be the most expensive pettiness ever. £60 million pettiness.
60 million.
Has that ever been?
I mean, there's the Iraq War, but that's another conversation for another day. Realistically.
Yeah, we will be covering wars, guys. We'll expand to that at some point.
The Chelsea Echo covers the Vietnam War.
Yeah, exactly. At the moment, we're just covering Chelsea and their battles with FFP that don't actually exist because we're really smart, obviously.
Well, we're going to talk about that later in the best section, which is transfers, and you know how it goes. But the last thing I want to talk about, because we are going to have to switch over to a different recording, which will quite comfortably also be the break in our show as well, because we aren't paying for Zoom. So if anyone wants to pay for the Chelsea Echo Zoom, that'd be great. Caicedo wearing number 25, which was unofficially retired at Chelsea, that is now his number. I'm personally not a fan of that, if it's a shirt that's been unofficially or not retired. I don't think it's right to unretire it, even if Zola was very happy that he took the number. It's a lot of pressure to put on an already huge amount of pressure with such a young player, who's also now the British transfer record. Am I just being a bitch? Or is it... have I got some logic and thought behind this? Or am I just being really emotional?
Bitch.
Okay, thank you. Great.
Well, no, it depends on the circumstances with it, doesn't it? We don't know necessarily. Did he request the number? Or did Chelsea say, oh, by the way, do you want this number? And then he went, okay.
So, in his interview, he said... he said that the number's really important to him and his family.
Okay.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why he's got that. And then maybe he's requested it. And then Chelsea have also said, we'll give it to you as well.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I think it's fine. I think if he's requested it, it's fine. I think if we've kind of gone, oh, by the way, do you want this number? And then he's gone, yes, because why not? Then that's different. But yeah, back it. Did he wear that at Brighton?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, then if that's his number, that's his number. And, you know, he's coming.
Yeah, it's a bit like Koulibaly last summer, I find. Yeah. Like, I had a bit of, oh, that's JT's number, but realistically, if they're good and they're wearing a number, you're not really going to care, as long as they're good.
That's and you could enough. Say Koulibaly was just as good as Terry, so that's fine.
Yeah, they were very comparable. Very, very comparable.
Which stint was, we're probably Koulibaly at Napoli, right? We're talking about the same guy?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, of course, absolutely fantastic player. But yeah, I mean, look, for me, we'll have to see how it all goes. But we've got our players. It's done. That's all we can say about it. What's going to happen now is after me saying that, we're going to have what we had last week where we had to cut in and Tobes went, oh, that's it. You know, Caicedo, nothing's changed. And then within 12 hours, everything changed. So, you know, we've got these players coming through the door. Lavia's on his way by the looks of things. And everything's Rosie Lee. So, yeah.
And maybe Elise.
And maybe Elise, which we're going to get onto later. We'll have a little chat about that. But guys, give us a moment and we're going to switch over our links. And take this moment, pause the pod, grab a cup of tea, because we're going to be talking about West Ham. Right, I'm hoping you've got a cup of tea or whatever you're drinking. Boy, did you get any beverages in the break we had? Well, Zoom said we're being too cheap and we had to wait 9 minutes.
No.
You didn't?
But I did. I did read something briefly on Twitter that Liverpool are signing that player that we were talking about earlier. So, you know, news comes fast.
Exactly. Like, this is the thing. Like, it's the football doesn't stop. And we're just here to give it to you as much as we can. Tom, did you get anything? Did Jakob bring you anything? Did he bring you a nice cocoa?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm no longer with Jakob, sadly, as he's still in South France, where he lives. And he eats cheese, and I'm now back in London where it's, to be fair, it was quite a nice day today. But I also looked at Twitter and saw the rumour, and I now know that the player's name is Wataru Endo, who has 50 caps for Japan, and that's all I can tell you about him.
I mean, listen, Japanese players are all the rage right now. You know, Angie did it at Celtic, Tomiyasu came to Arsenal, played a few games, Mitoma. Got injured.
Mitoma.
You know, so this guy might be good. And you know, we all know about the Japanese. You know, they've got always have the oldest ages in the world, don't they? And then it's the Italians. So you're going to be stuck with me a lot longer than you might be, boys. Let's get straight into it. Let's talk about it. West Ham away, yeah, fucking love it. Pie mash and liquor. Anyway, first away of the season. They're an interesting state right now, West Ham. How are we feeling about this goal game?
Quite good in a way. I'm a little bit tentative about Ward-Prowse, but I did see a keeper start for us at the weekend and claim a corner, and that in itself, I was, you know, knee sliding round, buzzing, giving it Drogba arms. I was just, it was so refreshing to see. We should have got a goal from the counter attack from it, but we don't have a keeper that can't reach, you know, a free kick. So that's nice. I was also a bit scared of Harry Maguire's massive head on the end of those free kicks from Ward-Prowse and Zouma. You know, they got a lot of aerial height, but that deal's collapsed. I feel like they're in a bit of a state. I've seen Lucas Paqueta. Apparently, City are pushing ahead with that move, and he's a bit unsettled, so maybe he won't play, which is one of their best players. So, yeah, I feel good about it. I feel good about this game.
What about you, Tom?
I'm not going to lie, it's a fixture I absolutely hate. I hate playing West Ham away. And I think, well, we know why. They are a bit of a bogey team. They I don't know why they always just seem to have our number, even though statistically they actually probably don't have our number as much as I think about. But I've got that Arthur Masuaku goal engraved in somewhere in my brain. And we spoke about PTSD on the first pod of sort of the Sarri reign and stuff like that. That is proper PTSD. And you've just spoken, Tobes, about, you know, a keeper who can catch a corner. Well, how about a keeper who can, you know, not let in a cross from 78 yards away that he didn't even mean to do?
Because you need binoculars there. When that went in, or when they, I remember when he crossed it, I said out loud to the bloke next to me, I was like, oh, thank God he crossed it. And then you see them all celebrating because you can't see a thing, you can't see what's going on the pitch where they are in their terrible stadium. But yeah, that going in was like, especially because the penalty Mendy had conceded, that was kind of when Mendy fell off, wasn't it? Yeah. That was the game.
Well, I'm very fortunate to never seen us lose at West Ham. So if I get a ticket, it should be a W. You know what I mean?
I've not seen us win, so it's time to put that to an end, lads.
Well, there we go. I think my memories of West Ham are quite positive. I was there when Hazard did that little back pass. It's one of my favourite memories of football. I was right behind the goal as well. So I've got, now what is it? I was just the left of the goal. So you had, it was literally directly in front of me. I just had a little back pass. I'm like, oh my
lovely
God. This man is sensual with his football. And he also helped us get Rami Alavia, which is something we didn't touch on, which we could have done even because he was at the game. But with this though, in the game, do you think Caicedo is going to come into the side? Do you think we're going to be looking at probably a Chelsea 11, which is the real new look now? Obviously, I think we were looking at last week, we were worried about potentially seeing, you know, other players that we weren't happy with. Obviously, we're looking at, it was a three at the back last week. Do you think now we've got Caicedo and potentially Lavia for this game that we might be seeing a four at the back finally come in?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think we will go four at the back, but which centre-back is dropped? Because they all play pretty well. Mm. I mean, logically it would be De Sassi, but, you know, he had a pretty good game. And he scored. So hard to drop him. I don't know as well. The other question I think would be who the three in midfield are. Obviously Enzo and Caicedo would presumably be two, but then do you play Lavia or do you play Carney again?
Or Connor
as well. Those are the questions. Mm. But, you know, we've got options and genuinely good options too, rather than last year where we sort of just did what, I don't know, he just changed the team every week because why not? And then there's going forward, you know, does Mudryk come into the side? Does Sterling presumably will play again? But, you know, he was okay at times, he was good at times and he was terrible at times. It was kind of a bit of a mixed game from him. So is he going to keep his spot? Yeah, it's a few questions, but it's exciting to have, you know, at the start of the season where we sort of got positive questions rather than what the hell is going on like last year.
Mm, absolutely, and I think that's the big thing which a lot of people are worried about, is that they're, you know, they're a bogey side, but who comes in, who comes out? You know, we've got, I think compared to last year when we signed all the players, it was kind of, it did seem very scattergun, whereas now we're signing players to build a side and that's great and it's not scattergun, but now we've got cases of a lot of competition for places and players which I think a lot of people have written off last season in the first game, doing everything they can to prove a point to either one, stay at the club, fight for their place, or two, proving doubters wrong and saying, look, we're going to be here for a long time, what are we going to do? But last week, Tom, because you weren't here, we did do a predicted 11, but it wasn't like a predicted 11 of what we think Poch will pick, it's what we want. And we actually didn't do too bad. I was quite happy with our picks, Tobes. I thought we kind of nailed it.
Yeah, it seemed like, from what was reported, or there was a couple of stories coming out that we actually were going to play a four against Liverpool until he saw that they'd named that many, that attacking a team, and supposedly he actually shifted to a five, took Mudryk out and put De Zassi in. Because we didn't play a five all pre-season, so it was quite peculiar. When I saw that lineup, I was a bit like, oh, you know, we're comfy in a five, but you haven't been playing that, so it was a bit of a surprise, but apparently it might have been to counteract them.
I was very smug, because I've been saying all summer, I said, watch him. First game of the season, going to play a five at the back. No, he's not been doing that all pre-season. He'll do, you know, we've got to do this. We're comfortable. What did he do? He played five at the back. I'm a genius. I'm a tactical mastermind. That's what I am. That's why I won the trophies at Wolves. That's why when you know, United played the Wolves fan cast, I was on the touchline, shouting the orders, barking. You know, it was a family event, but I did let it go a little bit too much. Went full Mike Bassett. But, you know, it is what it is. But let's do this predicted 11. The Chelsea Echo predicted 11. Let's just start in goals, very simple, right now, because we only have one goalkeeper. Unless you particularly fancy naming Marcus Bettinelli, sorry, as you're...
I'm good. Sanchez did all right. He did okay.
So we're going Sanchez in goal. Are we going with a 4 or are we going with a 5?
4. We're going to have all four. The ball.
We're going to stick with a 4 then. So, left-back, Ben Chilwell, self-explanatory. Right-back, is it going to be Reece?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he said he was came off because he was tired. That's what Poch said.
We're going Reece at right-back. 2 centre-halves. I mean, Levi Colwill, he definitely goes in straight off the bat. De Zassi or Thiago Silva?
Thiago.
You're straight off the bat?
Thiago.
Yeah.
Thiago Silva?
Yeah,
okay. Right, so we've got Thiago Silva there. 2 centre midfielders. The double pivot picks itself now, doesn't it? Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez. I think, you know, we can't really argue with that.
Yes.
Left wing, I'm going to put forward Mudryk. Happy with that?
Yeah.
I agree, yeah.
Up against the corpse of Kufal, I feel like that's a good recipe. He won loads of space, but...
That is the Battle of the Iron Curtain, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm just looking forward to, you know...
Have we seen Mudryk's nickname in the week?
No.
Ukraine Bolt.
Ukraine Bolt, the greatest nickname I've ever seen.
Is the expressions gave him that, isn't it?
Very good.
Ukraine Bolt, I like that. So we've got Ukraine Bolt on the left wing. Right wing, okay. Ironman seems to be in the minority who didn't think Sterling was all that.
I thought he had one of his better games in Chelsea's shirt.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just feel that he didn't show enough for me to sort of be like, well, let's give Nonny a go. Or let's give someone else a go. Because I mean, he needs to be judged differently to the rest of these players for me, in my opinion. He's not a young player. He's not someone who is just coming through. He is a fully established Premier League player on £350,000 a week. And I don't think he showed enough last game for me personally to be very excited, to really sort of look at how he was performing and say that he is going to be starting on the right wing. And obviously we'll touch more on that later anyway when we talk about, you know, Michael Olise potentially coming to Stamford Bridge. But I mean, he probably is going to be the starter. But is there a case for Nonny?
I thought him and Reece linked up well. I thought he set up that Enzo chance as well. I thought second half, he definitely faded. So, and I get it. Like, I've been critical of Sterling. Like you said, for those reasons, he's paid a lot more. He came as the one multiple league winner. We expect more in that sense. But I actually thought first half he was actually good. And even the corner that we scored from came from, he sort of turned the defender and then cut it across and Trent cleared it over the bar, I think it was. I thought it was one of his better performances for us, and hopefully he can build on that. Getting a few tap-ins even at the back post. We need goals, and he can deliver. Even last season, he was still our top scorer, despite us moaning, you know?
I agree with that in terms of Sterling. I think it was his best game in Chelsea shirt, in my opinion. And even then, I mean, okay, the bar was extremely low, and it probably overall was maybe a 6 out of 10 because, as you said, he faded. But he showed some signs. He played some balls through, which is something we haven't seen before. He actually looked like he wanted to be there, which again is, you know, the bare minimum, I guess. But we didn't see that last year. So, but on Nonny, I'm actually quite worried about Nonny and what his future is at Chelsea because he didn't come on. He brought Mattson on instead, in an attacking position. Maybe that, you know, in pre-season as well, that we didn't see any of Nonny, did we? So, I don't know, a bit worried about what Poch is doing with him. Maybe it's just because he hasn't had as much time because he was with the under-21s, but then Cole's straight in the team, so I don't know. It's a bit of a worrying one, and as we'll touch on a bit later with Elise coming in, I don't know what that means for Nonny. But I think for this weekend, it will almost certainly be Sterling, whether we want it or not.
Okay, cool. We'll shove Sterling in then. Number 10, who are we looking at? Is it going to be Carney? Are we going to see Ian Mattson in there potentially? Because he did play there during pre-season. I thought he looked great when he came on. What do you think is going to... Who do you want to see in that number 10 position?
I want to suffocate them on the edge of their box, and I want Connor on the precipice of their box at all times, harassing and pressing. I thought he was brilliant. I find it hard to drop Connor.
Yeah,
I like Carney, and I want to see him develop. And who knows, Connor might not even be here beyond this window. But I find it hard to drop him after that performance. And you know what? I feel like some justice needs to come from this. Last season, he had a shot. It looked like it might have been going. Well, it looked like it was going in from where we were. Suchek makes a brilliant save. You know, something that Kepa wouldn't have even saved himself. And VAR said, "Well, no, he's just fallen on the ball there. We can't give that." And I feel like Connor's going to go and score against West Ham.
Connor Gallagher. Okay, I can't disagree with that. I think, yeah, he had a great game against Liverpool and deserves to start. Tom, you going with Connor Gallagher?
I'm not going with Conor Gallagher, but I'm wondering if do we chuck Levere straight in at the deep end and play Enzo a bit further forward? That's a question mark. I thought Enzo, as we've touched on, was like sublime, like genuinely outrageously good. And that was because he was free to do what he wanted going forward because Gallagher did all the dirty work. Now you've got at least one player who literally all they do is the dirty work. I think he can really be set free, and some of the balls he was playing in, the fact that he's on set pieces as well instead of Chilean Reece shows just how good he is in terms of delivering a ball in. So I think that's an option, but I'm not against Connor. As I said earlier, you know, it's just nice to have good options. We're back. The Chelsea are back.
It's nice not hating them all and like and wanting to see these players, isn't it? Like, it's hard to leave people out, whereas last season it was like, God, who'd you pick?
Yeah, no, that's the problem, and that's a nice problem to have. So I'm very happy with that. But so we've got. I'm going to, you know, obviously play in the middle here. I'm going to go Gallagher. I agree with, you know, Tobes' tactical intuition in that situation. And I think realistically, like if I was Poch, I wouldn't throw a whole new midfield together just in the second game of the season. I'd want to have a couple of training sessions together first. So I'm going to go with Gallagher. I mean, centre forward, when we're talking about, you know, having nice options, centre forward is the only place we don't have that. So that's a pretty self-explanatory choice. Nico Jackson, we happy with that? Or we'll have to be anyway.
Yeah, or David. Is it David?
You know, David Washington. Yeah.
Mate, he was fucking class in Man on Fire. What else is he in? Training Day, what a film. Movie star turned footballer. What a guy.
I mean, you know that's Denzel Washington, right? Mm. Not David. But, you know, it's
I'm aware, yes. Yeah, aware that the man born in 2005 from Brazil is in fact not Oscar winner Denzel Washington.
Yeah, no. Just checking, yeah, because you know that right. when this come out, you'll have someone
true,
say,
true.
Well, did you know that it's not actually that person? So, yeah, we know it's not. But, I mean, look, that's our 11 there. So we'll go through it for you one more time quickly. We've got Sanchez in goal, Chilwell at left back, Thiago Silva and Cole Wills, your two centre-backs. Right back, we've got Reece James. Two midfielders, we've got Caicedo and Fernandes. My God, it feels so good to say that. Number 10, we've got Conor Gallagher. Left wing, Mudryk. Right wing, Sterling. Centre-forward, Miss Jackson. And I'm very happy with that, as we all are. So let us know your thoughts on that 11 in the comments, obviously, in our socials, because we've not put these on YouTube yet. But just means it's coming. Give us some time. We're working our way towards that. But anyway, before we crack on, we're going to have another break quickly. So this time the lads can go and get themselves a drink. They can get a beverage. And Jakob can fly Tom a nice cup of cocoa from the south of France. Right, ladies and germs, I hope you've enjoyed that little opposition preview. It gives us a little bit of enlightenment into what's going on at West Ham. However, we're going to get into my favourite section, because it is the section where I get to sing the jingle, which is transfers, 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 transfers. Yay, football! Anyway, let's get straight into the transfer news. We're going to have to unfortunately start on a less positive thing, because this thing has broken the most recently, and that is Lewis Hall potentially on his way out of Stamford Bridge. £30 million fees being touted by Newcastle. Recently signed a 6+1 year deal, which is interesting, because he was going on loan to Palace. Apparently that was all agreed, or was it? And it's still ordered in. Newcastle looking at swooping in to take him as a left back option. So you have Dan Burn, who's just this, you know, big lanky monster, and the technically gifted Lewis Hall. Lads, this seems like a big mistake to me. I don't know what you think.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
If you said you could sell three of the four left backs, he's probably the one I wouldn't pick. Probably.
So you'd
sell Chilwell. I like Chilly. I think Matson looks good. I think for an 18-year-old man, like, we've watched him create chance after chance after. If Everton players who finish, you'd see he'd already have like really high numbers.
Yeah.
And he's barely even played. Every game he plays, he's one of the better players on the pitch. I just think he's a really talented footballer. Like, yeah, he can. We know he can play midfield as well from the youth academy, and obviously he's been playing left back for us. But he just looks like someone who's so secure on the ball. Like, how many players do you get that look like they're just comfy? They're at home at 18.
Yeah.
I think it'd be foolish.
He feels like a natural heir to Ben Chilwell, and like you said, he can play in midfield as well. So when it comes, even potentially that option further forward, you know, he's an option there. I mean, they've been sniffing around all our left backs this window, haven't they? You know, Cucurella was tattered to go there. Chilwell, right at the beginning of the window, there was like about 3 hours where he was apparently going to go to Newcastle. The one thing which I find very interesting is, as much as we're talking about Lewis Hall, Ian Matson's actually been touted to also be sold, which is an interesting one as well. Obviously, a pair of them are just pure profit, which maybe eats into this whole FFP argument that might be going on. Which I think is, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know, it's absolutely nuts what's going on with that. But to be fair, the way we've done it is very intelligent. Simon Jordan did a fantastic breakdown, which has gone viral over the past couple of days, where, you know, we've just proven that we are well within what we're doing. And, you know, we're looking all right. But he did say that the issue might be further down the line when, for example, right now we're looking at paying off £75 million a year to basically deal with these last three windows. And obviously we're going to need to be signing players, and we're going to be changing and chopping and doing different things over the next 5-6 years as well. So, you know, this might come back to bite us, which is why maybe we're looking at selling these players that are just pure profit. But I just can't, and I don't understand how this is looking at as an option, you know? I mean, if there's a buyback clause, or maybe I'll be sitting there going, oh, do you know what? I'm not completely against it. But even then, I'm kind of still going, well, why sell him? You know, he's the one which we would want to keep. Like you know, Tubbs was saying, he's the one I'm looking at going, I was going Chilwell, and I was going Hall, and I was actually looking at Matson further up the pitch, not a left back, because, you know, stick him in there if I had an issue. But, I mean, I don't know, we do still have a rather bulky squad sitting at, what, 31 right now. And then, obviously, that's looking to adapt and change. And Poch wants a smaller squad anyway. I think he wanted 24. So we're still very heavy in terms of what we've got.
I didn't consider, you know, because I was thinking about, OK, well, why would there be an aspect of him considering this? He's just signed a new deal. So it would seem really weird. But is there perhaps the... Like, we haven't considered. He does want to, whenever he speaks, he wants to be a midfielder.
Yeah.
He always talks about that's where he actually wants to play. It's where he feels most comfortable. Well, he has played left back for us. So we're seeing him as like, oh, you know, he could be this left back. Maybe he's looking at it with the midfield acquisitions we've had and going, am I going to break in midfield here?
Yeah.
Like, if you've got Caicedo, Lavia, Santos, Hugo Chukwu, Enzo. I mean, Connor's still there for now. We don't know what happened there. But that's a lot of midfielders.
Mm.
So maybe he's looking at it like, I don't see a path there. I mean, Newcastle's midfield is very decent, but maybe he's thinking Joe Linton's not going to last forever. I can get in ahead of him at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think of it that way. I hope I'm wrong,
but maybe that might come into it.
It's interesting because he signed this 6+1 deal on the premise of there was going to be opportunities for him at Chelsea further down the line. There was a piece which Felix Johnson put out, and he was saying, you know, he was signed this deal, he was going to go on loan to Palace, he was going to come back, and then that kind of just slowed down out of nowhere. We've made these signings, and all of us are like, actually, you know what, no, you're going to go now. So, I don't know, but maybe it's Chelsea sort of putting a 6-year contract on to get the value up as well. But we'll keep tabs on it, and we'll let you know how as it unfolds.
I do have some more breaking bad news.
Oh, go on.
And it is transfers.
Oh, is it transfers? It's transfers related.
It is. For the third time, Hakim Ziyech has failed his medical at Galatasaray. So we are still employing Hakim Ziyech.
Right, this bloke is just taking the piss at this point. There is no way he can possibly fail three medicals. He hasn't played football in about 14 years. How can he still be failing a medical?
Is it his knee? They must be talking about his knee.
Well, it was supposedly his knee that stopped Saudi, or they offered him a bit less and he wasn't having it. But yeah, I've just seen on Dutch TV, apparently they've said that.
Oh my goodness. What do we do about him?
We just rip that contract up. Surely, like we're looking at cutting costs, but just pay him, get him gone. Like,
yeah, I think it has to be that situation. Hakim Ziyech is just, he's surplus requirement. He's not adding anything to this team. His attitude stinks, absolutely stinks. And I don't care how much of a wonder of a left foot he has, he's just not going to bring us anything. So,
yeah, well, Poch didn't even take him on pre-season, so.
This is it, exactly. So he'll be on his way. But speaking of players with a wonder of a left foot and want to play on the right wing and want to play for Chelsea, Elise has agreed personal terms with Chelsea, and apparently we triggered his release clause, which didn't exist, apparently. He wants to come back after the snub in Manchester City. For the second week in a row, it's happened. Why is it that when we record something and it's all good news and it seems to be going well, we have to give you some breaking news? It's not so breaking because you're getting this on a Friday, but Elise has just signed a new 4-year deal with Crystal Palace. So this whole section we recorded is completely pointless. So you're not going to hear it. I'm just going to give you this voiceover of me at 17 minutes past midnight on the Friday, talking about how Elise has snubbed Chelsea after saying he snubbed Manchester City. We said lots of nice things about him, but now it seems pointless, unless this is just Palace's bid to drive up the price. Apparently, he does have a new release clause, and apparently we might be being taken to tribunal. But what I'm going to do is I'll record a special episode for you guys, and I'm going to have a chat with a sports lawyer next week so we can see if we can help Chelsea and not end up in, I don't know, it could be Judge Rinder, it could be Judge Judy, whoever it is we end up in front of. Let's just hope that he can help us. But anyway, that's the news. On with the show, I guess. We've got Chelsea are potentially going to be signing another striker. Montpellier's £30 million rated forward, Eli Wahi, and potentially new goalkeeper as well. This is all according to Nizar Kinsella. Just a little bit about Eli Wahi, because I heard about him about 3 hours ago. He's 20, so he's another toddler. West Ham are also interested, but they are leading the race. So this could be another game which is pivotal in signing a player. But his numbers are pretty good for a player who's had one season of senior football. Played 33 games for Montpellier, scored 19 goals, got 6 assists. I wouldn't
look at his number of charges as well.
Number of charges?
Yeah. Like from what I've read, we'd be getting a bit of a... What United have got involved Adrian in today? More the Greenwood variety.
Oh, excellent. Really?
Yeah. Because I was looking into him earlier as well. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want this guy here. Do you know what I mean? Unless, they might have. It sounds like West Ham are going for him anyway, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's leave it at that. Should we move on to the next one quickly? Goalies. We had a little chat last week. Me and Tobes, Tom, have decided we want the Argentinian shithouse, the one that should have been sent off against Newcastle last weekend. We want Emi Martinez, you know, we want the bastard. Have you got any other options you'd like to put forward for the goalkeeper role? Because they talk of Sanchez being our number one this year and us getting a backup. But have you got any idea of what you'd like to do differently, potentially, if you were in Poch's position?
For a number one, because I saw we were rumoured to sign Kasper Schmeichel, which I assume would come in as a number two.
I think he's a great option for a year or two.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Sanchez is a very underrated goalkeeper. People think just because Jason Steele took his spot at Brighton, that's all because De Zerbi's obsessed with football players who use their feet. There's this obsession now that goalkeepers have to be a football player first and foremost. I'd rather they just stop the ball going in the back of the net first, and then, you know, if they can kick it, that's a bonus. Not quite as bad with their feet as Edouard Mendy is, but somewhere in between, you know, that would be great. And I think Sanchez is a decent keeper, but in terms of options, I saw the potential links to Kobel from Dortmund, but I think he'd be probably quite expensive. Maignan, another one who'd be a lot of money, and you know, we've already spent Maignan, excellent goal. That's a lot of money, and we are closing in on £1 billion spent, and I think spending that much money is probably out of the... I mean, nothing's out of the question with Todd, but you think it's out of the question. So I would not be opposed to Schmeichel coming in on what I think would be a free, and then Schmeichel and Sanchez battle it out for number one, and see what happens, and then obviously the other one plays in the cups, because I decided that we're winning one this year.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'm pretty happy with that. We've got a couple of questions that we'll razz through as well while we're here, because we put it out and then you guys have got involved. So we've got two questions. One from Toby Azek, who says, do the summer signings, along with no European football, give Pochettino enough time on the training pitch, brace yourself, boys, to make us title challengers? I'm just going to field this now. I'm going to stay very quiet. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to listen. Lads, Chelsea, Pochettino, these signings, title challenges, go.
I think it's Mourinho, little horse.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of vibe. I think it's... I know that season, actually, we did get close to the title. Probably should have won it, to be honest. We lost to a lot of poor teams and beat, you know, Liverpool and City home and away that season. Smashed Arsenal 6-0. I don't think it'll be that. But I think we're looking more at a fourth. But just signs. Signs that you know it's coming. It's building. It's developing. The players are starting. Second half of the season as well, when Nkunku comes back, it will start clicking even more. I think it'll be more about that and getting back in Champions League ready to properly challenge the season after. But I do think City will be a bit weaker, so it could be an open one, but I feel like the others are a little bit more ahead in their development. They've had their managers there longer, they've put the parts together for longer, they've been drilled for longer, so we've got a bit of catching up to do. But you know, we could be in the mix for a little bit.
I completely agree with that.
Will we win the title? No, we will not win the title. Could we potentially get close and maybe look like we might win the title at one point? Maybe. Could we win a cup? Maybe. Are we good? Hopefully. We've had one actual game of football, I'm not including pre-season, of Poch, and it went quite well. But now we've got a run of games that realistically we expect to get, what, 13, 15 points from? So we've got to go and do that now and show the biz and actually score some goals and then play some football. And the more fluid we look, the better. That's great. And I think this season, this is going to sound ridiculous given how much money has been spent, but because it's not completely a free hit, but like, he's not expected to go and win the league, surely, by the board. And winning a cup, I don't think that's anything you can expect, because you don't know what the draw is going to be and you can get unlucky and stuff. So essentially, is Poch expected to win a trophy this year? Probably not. So I think the goal has to be, the top four is now dead because of the coefficient and new Champions League, so the top five has to be the goal. And I think we can do that. And I think we will do that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, we'll have to see what happens with that. But anyway, that's been the question of the week, which I thought was a very interesting one, so I thought I'd put it out there. If you guys want to get involved and see with the Echo, please do make sure you drop us some questions whenever you fancy it. Obviously, we'll put the polls out and that sort of stuff every week. And then, obviously, we do our spaces where you can get involved as well. But we're going to take another quick break whilst Zoom sorts itself out. And we're going to be back for game time. Don't hate the player, hate the game is what we're doing. And a new game for the predictions for the Premier League weekend. See you in a minute. Right, ladies and germs, game time, like we did last week. We're going to do Don't Hate the Player, Hate the Game. Tom, for you, this is the game, all right, where we do a round robin and we have to basically say players that play for Chelsea and for West Ham, and it's basically last man standing. Last week, we were too nice to each other, I thought. So basically, you're going to have 5 seconds, and after that, you're in trouble. With that, basically, we've got to get cracking. Right now, Tom, thanks to Gary, you're 1-0 up. So this is going to go for the entire season. And the person who finishes last of everyone on the Echo has to buy everyone dinner. So, that's going to be the aim. And then we've got the more fun game, which we've been planning for 2 weeks, which we wouldn't start last week, but we can start this week because Tom's here. But let's get straight into it. Jordan isn't actually here right now. He's had to dip because it's his wife's birthday and he forgot to call her. Good luck to him in that situation. And happy birthday. But let's get straight into it. So we do winner. So basically, Tom starts, and then we'll go Tobes, then we'll go me. and sure. we'll crack on. All right, on your marks, get set, go.
Joe Cole.
Frank Lampard.
Glenn Johnson.
Yossi Benayoun.
Demba Ba.
Fuck. I'm out. No, I'm out. I can't. I've got no one. My brain went.
Is that back to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victor Moses.
Scott Parker.
No, I'm struggling. Carlton Cole, was that said?
That counts. You didn't have to count Cole, yeah.
Kurt Zouma.
You bastard. Nah, I'm out. I'm struggling. Demba, oh, is that said? Demba Ba?
Yeah, Denver, I said Demba, yeah. No,
I've got nothing left.
Emerson.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Yeah. This
is quite hard on the cuff. Yeah. It's quite difficult.
Yeah, when they're that quick. They had rapid fire.
Yeah, I had mine lined up. I was like, I'm gonna go for the less obvious one, so I kind of cleared them out quickly.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Toes went Denver Ba, I was like, shit, that was my smoking gun. That was gonna be my one.
Yeah, Tom like, took Yossi as well, so I was like, oh.
That's can we do that next week? That'll be fun for Luton.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, God, yeah. We're going to actually have to do some research for this one. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, we'll do that with Luton as well. I'm sure there'll be loads of people
maybe,
screaming.
Maybe with Luton, it could just be name their players.
I've got one. Like,
no, I've on a serious
one.
Note.
I've got one of...
I reckon I could do two.
I've got one... I've got one Luton player who used to play for Chelsea.
I can do three. Three Luton players. Off the top of my head.
I couldn't
four,
do
Bore,
four
more
Luton
players. I've got four.
I got Nakamba in my head. That's what
yeah, because he's got the best name in football.
Marvellous. Yeah, Ross Barkley.
Great Ross age.
Tom Lockyer. Clinton Morrison.
Oh, yeah, they got Ross. They got Ross, of course.
Ross Barkley, yeah.
And that's the whole game.
No, I've got two more already. I've got two that play for Luton.
Oh, no, I meant ex-Chelsea and Luton.
Yeah, I've got two more.
Okay.
And I'm not saying them because then they'll go for the pod next week. I'm currently
you've won I'm by trailing. Default.
Oh, well, we'll have to see. Do your research, boys. That's what we can do. But, guys, let us know how many you got. I actually would be very intrigued. So know in the comments for the quick fire. So it's currently Tom 1, Tobes 1, me 0. And this is me, the pub quiz master.
So you're going down.
I'm going to be paying for dinner, and I'm really not looking forward to that. Because the worst part is I don't get to pick where it is. So, yeah, that'll be fun.
The Ritz.
But anyway.
I can't, Nobu's nice in May.
Yeah, you can fuck off, mate. With that, right, we're going to move on to the new game, which is just a Premier League predictions, right? So, basically, we're going to do our Premier League predictions for this week. And this is going to be a weekly thing, right? And the points are going to add up over the season. But the loser of every week has to do a forfeit at the next Chelsea home game or one associated to it. Okay? This week's forfeit, because I put three in and no one actually said yes or no. But the one that got the best reception was that at the next Chelsea home game, so it'll be Luton... the loser, who got the least points, will have to do fancy dress as a blue Power Ranger and promote the Chelsea.
Who has agreed to this? Louis, you've plucked this out of your arse.
I didn't pluck it out of my arse. It's been in the chat for about 4 days and that got a lot of conversations going. The costume is £30, so you have no excuses. The loser at the next Chelsea home game... will have to stand outside Stamford Bridge in a blue Power Ranger costume for 10 minutes holding a sign promoting the Chelsea Echo. And you're not allowed to just stand there. We have to do like the full-on like Power Rangers dance with the arms and everything, right? And you have to sing at one point, go, go, Chelsea Echo! And then from there, then you've got to see how it goes. So... And then obviously, with this being a weekly thing...
this is number one. This is like, you usually build these up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did put in earlier that we have to go one round with a former professional boxer.
I'll take that, mate. I think I'd take that over public humiliation.
Okay, we can do that. You could get the points.
As long as the former boxer's like, I don't know.
No, the former boxer.
I was about to name one, but he's dead now. But you know, what I mean? Someone like, on the cusp of death. I'll go around with him.
I've got a couple of friends who are ex-professional boxers that are Chelsea fans, so they will be the ones that will be one of them.
Are they post-90?
No, they've just retired.
No, then, I don't know, I'll have to weigh up. We'll see, I'll know my predictions anyway. But
yeah, well, we'll put it this way, if you get it right, it'll be fine. Again, end of the season, we tot up the scores, and the loser will have to do a big forfeit. So the person with the least points overall for the entire season will have to do a forfeit, which will be selected by the listeners. So over the season, guys, always send us your recommendations of potential forfeits. That's what we want to know for the entire season, randomly. I'm talking like that geezer on TikTok who did it for fantasy football. Which is another conversation for another day, and it's only quite well this week. But anyway, straight into it. These are the rules. 0 points for a wrong score. 1 point for the correct order. So, for example, let's say you've predicted us to beat West Ham 2-1, but we win 3-1. You get a point. 3 points if you're bang on. Completely bang on. And if you're feeling dangerous, you can go for additional points and guess the goal scorer. And that is 4 additional points. However,
so why wouldn't you guess the goal? Oh, okay, okay.
However, if you guess the goal scorer and you guess the score, but so for example, the order or the actual score, but that goal scorer doesn't score, you get no points. So you've got to basically choose if you're going to be dangerous or not. So you could...
Would you get just... If you won 3-0 and you predicted 2-1 win, would you still get a point?
You get a point because...
Okay, so it doesn't have to be within one goal. Yeah. Okay.
No, basically, you get a point for the correct result and 3 if you get the correct score.
Yeah, and then you can go for an additional 4 points in a game. But you have to get
7 if you get everything right.
If you get everything right. So if you get 3 points if you get the complete score correct... And then you get the additional 4 points if you get the goal scorer correct.
But any goal scorer? Or does it have to be the first goal scorer?
Any goals. Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
No, first, that's ridiculous. It's already hard enough. Otherwise, everyone would be winning that Super 6 every week, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so any goal scorer. So you can do
first
that.
Goal scorer as well.
And you can do that, I think, to avoid basically someone basically lumping it all on all the games if they're really losing. You can only pick one game a week to do that on. So if you want to check, say, like the goal scorer, you pick one game to do that. You can't do it on all of them.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Cool. Right, okay. So, play along at home as well. Let us know your scores. We're going to hop straight in. And I'm going to get the fixtures up now. So, first game of the week. Nottingham Forest versus Sheffield United.
Forest at home.
Forest are at home. Tobe, you go first.
Forest 2-1.
Tom?
2-0 Forest.
I am going to go for the same scoreline as Tom. So that's what we're going for.
I need after about 3 minutes, if Sheffield score, I'm going to punch the air. I'm going to punch the air knowing, I'm like, that's you guys ruled out. I could still get the 2-1, but just knowing...
Sheffield win, we still get a point. Forest win, we still get a point.
Yeah. Next one, Fulham Brentford.
I will go 2-0 Brentford with a goal from Mbeumo.
He's jumped in. Okay.
I'm going 2-1 Brentford.
Do you have to use a goal token, by the way?
You don't have to, but you.
I feel like you have to. I feel like you have
to.
Yeah,
I think we should use it.
You have to put your bollocks on the line somewhere.
if you only got one a week, you've got to use it.
Yeah, exactly. Because what's the risk incentive otherwise? I feel like everyone's going to use one goal.
Okay. I'm going to go draw. I'm going to go 2-2 for the Brentford because there's always goals in that one. Okay, next one. Liverpool versus Bournemouth.
I'm going to go 3-0 Liverpool.
Okay.
I'm going to go 4-1 Liverpool.
4-1.
I did watch West Ham Bournemouth at 3 o'clock and they were all right, but...
I am going to go 3-1 Liverpool. And I'm going to go Salah to score. See, I was smart with my token there, boys. This is when it turns out he's not going to play and he's gone to Saudi Arabia and I'm in serious trouble. Right. Wolves versus Brighton.
Oh, what a stinker. Actually, no, Wolves were right, to be fair. Brighton beat them like 6-0 last season, didn't they?
Yeah, I've got a big chunky scoreline on this one.
I thought Wolves were right against United, though. I'm going to go 2-1 Brighton.
2-1 Brighton, yeah?
I'm going 3-1 Brighton.
Okay, I'm going to go 4-0 Brighton.
Is that Wolves, is it? Or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at mine, yeah.
Brighton have done they've been awful for Wolves over the past few years. Cool. Right. 5:30. Tottenham United. What have you got?
I think Spurs are going to win that.
Yeah?
I think... do I? That's tough. Do you want to go first if you know what you're going with?
I'm going to go 2-1 United.
I'm going the opposite, 2-1 Spurs.
Yeah, I've got 2-1 Spurs.
Manchester City, Newcastle.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Interesting. Tom, what are you going?
I'm going to go 2-1 City, Haaland score. That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Haaland, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, that should be my banker. That should have been my banker. Ah, that's annoying. Right, okay. I am going to go 3-1 City.
Ooh.
Villa versus Everton. Tobes.
3-2
This game's got stinker written all over it.
2-0 Villa.
That's exactly why I have 2-0 Villa.
Cool. At Villa Park. It's not a bad shout. I mean, Everton have no goal scorers.
They should have absolutely battered Fulham last week. They dominated that game, but they couldn't score. So I don't think they're going to... Villa's defence was a bit of a shamble, so who knows. But I'm still back in 2-0.
I'm going to go 1-0. Yeah. That game, I think, has got a stinker written all over it. And the last game...
It's penultimate. There's another one after.
Nope. The Luton game's being postponed.
So yeah, there's a Monday night game, mate.
Yeah, unless that's the last one. Look, I know what I'm doing, Tom!
We haven't mentioned us yet, mate.
Oh shit, yeah, good point. What about that?
Still know what you're doing? Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, good point. Right, okay, gentlemen, score predictions for the Chelsea game, please.
Chelsea 2-0.
Same.
I'm going to be loving in that away end. Frankie Lampard.
That's going to be my score as well. And then the
last
one. We're
all back in it. All back in it, boys.
That's what I'm happy with there. And the last game, Palace versus Arsenal at Palace.
I like Palace. 3-0 Arsenal.
3-0 Arsenal, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going 2-0 Arsenal.
I'm going 3-1 Arsenal. I think Palace will score. All right, so we'll put these down and people can get involved. But the person with the least points from this weekend at the Luton game will be in a blue Power Rangers suit. And that is non-negotiable.
Well, they will do it. It might not be at the Luton game.
We'll aim for the Luton game. You know, because we'll find a way to get spares just so it makes that person feel less horrible about themselves. Where are they going to get changed? Might have to go to the game in a Power Ranger costume.
That's what I mean. Like, it might have to be a day jobby.
Forest only the week after.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to see. But that is the interesting bit over. Let us know your predictions for the weekend. But in our Twitter and across all our platforms. But guys, that is it for this week. That is the Chelsea Echo podcast. We'll be back next week to give you some more details on the games coming up and chat a bit more. There might be some stuff in between. Like I said, we're sorting stuff out and we are getting ourselves going. But gentlemen, are you ready for this week?
Yes, up the Chelsea.
Up the Chelsea.
Let's have it. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Drop us a review, by the way, so you can get us up those rankings on the podcast charts.
5 stars.
Exactly. 5-star that motherfucker. And yeah. See you later.